Blog Talk Radio.
This is Mad Daddy on the Saturday flight from the Tower of Power, the very top story in my wavy, gravy, groovy, gravy rocket laboratory, where we're bending every effort and making every test to be sure that our records are always the best. You see, well, before we play them on this crazy, wavy air, we dip them in this smoking vat with extra special care. Wearing thick, big rubber gloves and using special tongs, we make the Mad Dad acid test on the up-and-coming songs.
We might have songs, too. Good evening, and welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, accompanied by...
Dave Bigley from Weird, This Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And we're here with... Goat! And Pickle! All right, be quiet, Pickle. Quiet, Pickle. Always tries to steal the show. That Pickle. You can never trust the Pickle, Dale.
Sometimes he does
pickle always
the show.
A pickle always comes back on you, you know? That's what you got to be careful of.
It depends how much garlic is in them if they come back up on you. But I digress. It's one more show tonight about hospitals. And it looks like we might even have 30 or less unexpected and funny things that have happened.
Okay.
Hospital.
Yep, and with Fogs Bane and good old Bob in the chat, we're ready to roll here on this Saturday program.
Hey, Fogs, welcome back. Hi. And we got a good one for you, CBS Radio Mystery Theater, as is our wont to do often on Saturdays.
Yeah, in a sense, a bit of a science fiction without being science fiction, but it's science fiction because it's something that hasn't been conquered by science yet. So I would consider that science fiction. Would you, Dale?
Yeah. Or you could say it's a drama with elements of sci-fi. Or you could say, or you can call me Johnny. Or you can call me Sonny. Or you can call me Rage.
Oh, that routine, the guys from Youngstown, I think, that routine lasted about 10 minutes. Thank you very
much.
Yeah,
if that.
Oh, man, did I get tired of that so fast.
I didn't study for a test. Yeah. So doctor test. Fill up this cup. I didn't study for this test.
Yeah. You know, Dale, some hospitals keep a supply of beer for alcoholics in case they go through withdrawal, which can be fatal. So some hospitals even have beer cans with prescriptions labels. Hey, I'll drink to that.
You've got to be kidding me. Seriously?
No. There's even a hospital in Germany that has a brewery attached to it. Yeah, that's the kind of health care I'll sign up for, I'm telling you.
There you go. That might be good. For me, keep a couple triple X's. Woo, that's some strong beer.
I didn't realize that the withdrawal would be that bad. I know you get the heebie-jeebies, but I didn't know that you got in the shakes, but I didn't know you got it was fatal, possibly.
Huh. I'll be darned.
Yep.
But yeah, another Hyman Brown directed show tonight.
You know what? I really need to pull that up. Yes, I do. Because it's got a little bit more information on it. Not one of the regular writers, but a semi-regular writer for the Mystery Theater. Identity Crisis. Okay, we'll get there in a second. But, yeah, you know what? There's another interesting fact here from hospitals is that, as that's coming up slowly but slowly, to improve hospital design for children, researchers polled 250 children regarding their opinions on clowns. And every single one of them reported either disliking or fearing them. So, no clowns. That's why you and I are not allowed in hospitals.
Maybe they had too many of them horror movies like It or or others that are like it.
some people think that clowns are scary. I sometimes think they're just plain annoying, but scary, no.
Well, it depends
on
the clown. It depends on the clown. Some are intended to be scary.
Yeah. Now, this particular episode is written by Field and Farrington, who has written some science fiction. He's also worked on a couple screenplays based on his novels. One of them is A Little Game, which is probably his most famous novel. But he did 21 episodes of the Radio Mystery Theater. And I'm looking over these. Some of them are very, very good.
Yep, and tonight's story is very, very good.
Yeah, this is a really interesting concept to the story. And we catch on to what's going to happen to really drive the story towards the end of the first act.
Yep, and it's got an intriguing title, Dave, Identity Crisis.
Yes, and there's a good reason for that, but I'm not going to tell you that. So,
yep, we'll let this story play out on CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yep.
Episode number?
We have Gordon Gould, Ann Williams, Joe Silver, Bryna Rayburn, and Robert Dryden, who is in like every other CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And it comes to us, episode number 563, comes to us from December 10th of 1976.
News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, the man who delivers your daily supply of chills and goosebumps. On Mystery Theater, where almost nothing is impossible and the improbable is commonplace, we often deal with things to come. And while we don't set ourselves up as an authentic oracle, we do sometimes give you something to think about and to shudder over. Listen and see if you don't agree.
It's easy enough when things are going well, Carl. But when they start to turn sour, that's when you have to begin earning your goodies.
But this thing, Paul, this thing you're talking about, it's too much. I can't get mixed up in it. I mean, I can't.
You'll be okay. You just have to get used to the idea, that's all. It's a business deal. Just a business deal. Don't think of it as murder.
Our mystery drama, Identity Crisis, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Field and Farrington and stars Gordon Gould. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The standard engine is a V8. Standard tires, steel-belted radials. There are front and rear stabilizer bars, special springs and shock valving, fast ratio power steering, and a rally steering wheel. What makes all this interesting is that it belongs to a full-size six-passenger Buick, the 1977 LeSabre Sport Coupe. You'll have to drive it to believe it. Here in my hand is a little capsule. It's Contact. It contains enough cold medicine to help relieve cold symptoms caused by every known virus. Think about that the next time you're sick. Sneezing, dripping, all clogged up. Then let us help you with real medicine, like Contact. We're number one in the whole world.
Give your cold to Contact. Real medicine for real cold.
Take only as direct.
Hear ye, hear ye. All residents are being offered the opportunity to become drown-proof.
Hey, Bud. What's this drown-proof bit?
Can you swim, sir?
No.
Then the YMCA wants to drown-proof you and every other non-swimmer in town by teaching you how to swim.
No kidding.
That's right. Think of the fun and exercise you'll have swimming, and you'll be able to enjoy all the other water sports, too, in safety. That's something to celebrate in this bicentennial year.
What's the bicentennial got to do with it?
How did George Washington get to Trenton?
He crossed the Delaware in a rowboat.
Sir, would the father of our country have set foot in a rowboat if he couldn't swim? He had to set a good example.
Like father, like son, eh?
And like mother, like daughter. Martha knew how to swim, too. Everybody's welcome at the Y to learn how to swim. So drown-proof yourself and your family and make George Washington proud of you. Hear ye, hear ye.
Is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you when you're ready, and ready to offer savers the kind of services you can get with the Northwest Card, a special feature available to savers who maintain a $500 balance. And here's what you get. Traveler's checks, gift checks, registered checks, all with no service charge. Need documents Xeroxing or lamination? It's free with the Northwest Card. There's a special quick check cashing ID card with your picture. Even special vacations for Northwest Card members. Get a world of services you need often by getting a Northwest Card at any of five convenient Northwest Federal Savings Centers throughout Chicagoland's great Northwest Territory. Be part of a special group and be a special person at Northwest Federal anytime, because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best dollars yours.
It's Northwest Federal Savings time, 63 hours a week.
What do you suppose your great-grandfather would have said if you had told him that one day men would fly to the moon, land there, and plant an American flag, too? That a man's heart could be taken from his body and put in another man's body to replace his ailing one. That by clicking a button here on Earth, you could take a picture of a rock pile on Mars. He'd tell you to go and have your head examined. Well, what would you say if we suggested that someday in the future, not only heart transplants, but brain transplants would be possible? Ridiculous? Maybe. Or are you perhaps just being a grandfather when you say so?
Come in, Mrs. Hollis.
Thank you, Doctor.
And this is Mrs. Kemperer?
That's right.
I suppose you're wondering why I've asked you to stop in at my office, both of you at the same time.
I just wondered about it.
Well, you two have one thing in common. I suppose you know that.
Our husbands.
Yes. Both your husbands are in critical condition. In terminal condition, unfortunately. You've both been told that separately.
Yes. Yes.
What I want to suggest now is that it may be, possible to save one of them. And it's just possible that the one whole man may continue to live.
But if they're both... Which man?
Hear me out, please. Mrs. Hollis, your husband is suffering from massive internal injuries sustained in an automobile crash yesterday.
Yes?
He's being kept alive from minute to minute. But I'm afraid he can't possibly last much longer.
I was told that yesterday.
Yes. And your husband, Mrs. Kemperer, has had a malignant brain tumor removed. The operation could be called successful in that the tumor was removed and your husband is still alive. But brain damage has already been done. And, of course, that cannot be repaired.
I understand that, yes.
He will not improve. And he cannot be expected to live in this condition for more than, say, a few weeks.
Yes, so you've already told me.
Now, Mrs. Hollis, your husband's brain was undamaged in the accident.
What are you suggesting?
A brain transplant.
A brain transplant? I've never heard of such a thing.
The fact is, it's never been done before. Not with the human brain.
Well, then...
But I've been experimenting with animals for many years. My last three experiments have been completely successful. Completely successful.
And you think it can be done with our husbands?
You must understand that I cannot promise success. It still must be called experimental. Techniques will be needed which have not yet... However, I believe that it can be done.
Oh, it's quite overwhelming.
The thing is, to put it bluntly, we have absolutely nothing to lose. Your husbands are both going to die. There's no question whatever about that. Maybe this way, if the surgery is successful, we can save one man.
Well, what do you think, Mrs. Hollis?
I don't know.
I'd ask you both to sign releases, of course.
As he says, there's nothing to lose.
Well, I suppose not. I wish I could ask Andy.
Unfortunately, that's impossible.
At least we'd be doing something.
I suppose you're right. Yes. Yes, of course you are. All right, I'll sign the release, Dr. Peters.
All right. Keep your shirt on. I'm coming.
Paul, can I come in, please?
Sure. Come on in. What's got you so upset?
Well, there's this doctor, Dr. Peters.
Yeah.
He's a brain surgeon, and according to the guy on the radio, just about the best there is, and he's going to do a brain transplant job.
Brain transplant?
Uh-huh, that's right.
That can't be done.
This Dr. Peters, he thinks he can do it, and he's going to try, maybe doing it right now.
Well, that's interesting.
Do you want to know whose brain is getting transplanted?
Okay.
Andy Hollis's brain, that's who. State Senator Andrew H. Hollis.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. He was in this auto accident yesterday afternoon. Did you hear about that?
No. Was he badly hurt? I guess he must have been.
He was busted up pretty good. And they got this other fellow there in the hospital. I can't remember his name. He's dying from brain cancer. And they're going to transplant Hollis's brain into the other fellow's head.
Hmm. Well, maybe Hollis will die before they get a chance to operate.
I told you, the radio guy said they were going to try any minute.
I gotta think about this.
You think that Hollis, well, you know, when they get the switch made and everything, you think he'll shoot his mouth off?
I don't know. Now, just shut up. Let me think.
Come in. Oh, hello, John.
Hello. I got this message. The important Dr. Randolph Peters wants to see me.
Yes, come on in.
You are actually going ahead with the brain transplant?
Yes. Don't you approve?
Well, surely, why wouldn't I? I don't know enough about it to disapprove anyway.
Dr. Muller, the eminent psychiatrist, has just admitted there's something he doesn't know much about. That's practically newsworthy.
Well, give me a half hour to bone up.
I'm going to need your help, John. I think we're going to overlap a little here.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. If that transplanted brain works at all, it will have gone through something pretty damn traumatic.
It frightens me a little. More than a little. Can I depend on you to stand by?
You know you can.
Well, then, I guess I'll go do it.
Right now?
Right now.
I think we've got a serious problem, Carl.
Yeah? On the kind of Hollis?
Well, you don't have to be a doctor to know that Hollis is going to be in pretty rough shape, you know, his brain is after his operation. My guess is he's going to be delirious for a while. He's going to be babbling, and if he babbles about the wrong things, well, we could be in a lot of trouble.
I guess so.
Turnpike repaving job. Good Lord, if they ever start checking on everything we've contracted for since Hollis has been chairman of the State Senate Public Works Committee. Oh, boy. We will have had it, Carl.
Yeah, like the Cedar River Bridge.
Morrison and Dunlap could be finished. All washed up.
Yeah. But why would he want to talk? He's no cleaner than we are, is he?
But they haven't been playing games with our brains. There's no way of knowing what his brain may spill.
So? What can we do about it? Maybe the operation won't be a success, huh?
Yeah, and maybe it will.
So?
I don't know.
Well, I think a hospital waiting room is the most dismal place in the whole world.
I've spent most of my time here for almost a month now.
Has your husband been sick that long?
Well, his operation was a month ago. He's been sick a lot longer.
Oh, it must have been dreadful for you, Mrs. Kemperer.
It wasn't nice. You know, it seems we're going to be seeing a good deal of each other. Don't you think we'd be more comfortable on a first-name basis?
Yes, I do, Esther. Mm. I think I'm still in shock. They called me yesterday afternoon and said Andy had been in a bad accident, and I haven't really been able to grasp.
Yes, it must have been a terrible shock. I've had almost a year to adjust to Ralph's situation. You called your husband Andy. Is he Andrew Hollis, the state senator?
Yes. They asked him. They've been talking to him about running for governor.
Oh, it doesn't seem fair, does it? A man in his prime. Nothing but good things to look forward to and...
No.
What is it?
That man just coming in.
Hmm?
I'm sure he's here to ask about Andy. I don't want...
Well, Mrs. Hollis, they told me I'd find you here. How's Andy?
Well, we don't really know. Didn't they tell you what's happening?
I heard it on the radio. Brain transplant, they said.
Yes, he's there in the operating room now.
Oh, well, I'm sure everything's going to be okay.
Everything can't be okay, not for both of us. This is Mrs. Kemper, Mr. Morrison. How do you do?
How do you do? You're the other fellow's wife.
Yes.
Do they say how long the operation's supposed to last?
No, a long time, I should think.
Hmm. Well, I guess I'll just wander around and, you know, be nosy. If there's anything I can do, Mrs. Hollis, anything at all.
Well, thank you. I think not.
Well, then, I expect I'll be seeing you later on.
I can't stand that man.
Is he a friend of your husband's?
Oh, a business acquaintance. A contractor or something like that. In politics, you have to be nice to all kinds of people. I've always wished Andy didn't have anything to do with Paul Morrison. I think he's a thief.
Beautiful, Dr. Peters. The most beautiful piece of work I've ever seen.
Thank you, nurse. But let's not congratulate ourselves just yet. He has a long way to go.
Oh, yes, I know.
I don't want him out of your sight for a second.
I understand, Doctor.
I'll be in my office. Let me know at once if there's any change of any kind. I want readings taken every 10 minutes, you understand? And keep in touch with me.
Hey, you were over there at the hospital a long time. Paul, did you get to see him?
No way. I was just, looking things over. There was no way they're going to let me see him.
Does it look like he's going to be okay?
I couldn't tell. I guess so. They got a special room all rigged up just for him. I sneaked a look at it, room 394. I don't want to forget that. Well, you never saw so many gadgets in all your life. You know, the more I think about it, Carl, the less I like it.
Yeah?
He's not going to be the same man. How could he be?
Well, same brain, though. I mean, it's Hollis's brain, no matter who else has got it in his head now, isn't it?
I wish I knew. I'm afraid he's going to have to be dealt with.
You don't mean... Oh, hey, I don't want to be part of anything like that.
Well, neither do I, Carl. I suppose nobody ever really wants to kill anybody.
Now, look, rigging bids and kicking back to Hollis, that's one thing. But this other... No, I don't want any part of it.
That was all right when the money was rolling in like for nothing, wasn't it, huh?
But this thing, Paul, this thing you're talking about, it's too much. I can't get mixed up in it. I mean, I can't.
You'll be okay, Carl. You just have to get used to the idea, that's all. It's a business deal. Just a business deal. Don't think of it as murder.
Oh, isn't that Dr. Peters?
Yes, Jane, I think he's seen us.
I guess the operation's finished.
Oh, I've been looking for you two. Have you both been right here the whole time?
How is he all right, Doctor?
The operation appears to have been successful. He's in a special recovery room we set up for him. But he isn't conscious, of course. Won't be for a good long while.
Can we see him?
Not just yet, I'm afraid. Later on. Maybe toward evening. We don't want to complicate things.
Dr. Peters.
Yes?
I haven't mentioned this to Jane, but I imagine she's been wondering, too. When he's better and, you know, when he can talk about everything, which one is he going to be?
This is the first operation of its kind, you understand. We're all waiting to see what will happen.
Yes, but... but who will he be?
I can't really say.
A good question. Who will he be? You have the brain of Andrew H. Hollis in the body of Ralph Kemperer. And by which name do you call him? More important, to Jane Hollis and Esther Kemperer at least, whose husband is he going to be? Which aspect is dominant, the physical or the mental? By which of the two forces is identity established? Perhaps we'll see this tangle unraveled when I return shortly with Act Two.
The table looks wonderful, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Reverend Berkey will just love it.
Oh, thank you, darling.
The dishes, the soup. Wait a minute, what's this?
New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice.
Why?
Because they use only fresh lemons.
Why?
Because we're having lobster, and lobster needs lemon.
No, why aren't
we? Oh, because the leading lemon juice is reconstituted. It has chemical preservatives.
Oh.
Minute Maid lemon juice is pure lemon juice, and it's frozen for freshness.
Oh.
Here, just taste Minute Maid.
No, I don't have to.
Oh, come on, you can taste the difference.
Oh, boy. Taste the difference.
Sure, it tastes like lemon. Minute Maid has the juice of six fresh lemons. Lemons in this plastic squeeze bottle. What? Oh, at the door. Oh, I'll let him in. Oh, Reverend Berkey.
Good evening, good evening.
Hal, here's Reverend Berkey.
Why is your husband talking like that?
I was tasting the lemon juice.
He was tasting New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice.
Yeah, just
he's been at the cooking sherry.
New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice in your grocer's freezer case. It's got a fresh taste. People really notice.
I like that commercial. That's cute.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that was Chicken Man.
That was Chicken Man? All right.
That was Chicken Man, yes. Yes, he went on, he and his partner there, that was also there, went on to do a ton of radio advertisements. They did a few television, I've seen a couple of television advertisements. They're better left to the imagination for radio. And I did them for Time Magazine and for so many different products and such. When I was in at college, in the advertising class, they even sent out, what they did is they made one of those Viva Tone sound sheets and putting in with like Advertising World or one of the things, trade publications, so that these companies could get their demos of their commercials. And they got some national accounts that way, like right there, that imitation real lemon juice or whatever that was. Yeah.
Yes. Makes their face all squished up. All right. Just like the real thing.
Yep, yep. Earned a darn good living making those commercials.
Yep. You know, I was going to say, Dave, yep. You never know what you're going to see at the hospital.
Yeah, that's true. Great minds think alike, so do ours.
Yeah. Yep. And I don't know, if you want to start with this one?
Yeah, we'll start with this one. We'll just like clip, do like four of them or so. And so number one, we saw this next to a weighing scale at the hospital. And the sign that says, a recent study found that women who carry a little extra weight live longer than men who mention it.
Yep, pretty true. And
yep. Go ahead, Dale.
Here's a T-shirt that was seen in a hospital. It says nurse, noun, nurse. The first person you see after saying, hold my beer and watch this.
I think his first name is Bubba. Number nurse. Three.
Yes.
The female nurse didn't think I was funny. The male doctor couldn't stop laughing. And looking on here on the current problem is patient's history. What is the main reason for your visit today? Describe symptoms. And he says, vasectomy. My symptoms are, I don't want children. When did you first notice the problem or symptoms? About 16 years old. Are symptoms continuous and occasionally permanent? All the time. When present, how long does it last? All day. Have you had any similar symptoms in the past? Yes. What makes the symptoms worse? Standing in line behind children. What makes the symptom better? Cutting down trees. The symptoms interfere with your normal function? No. That was an application, patient health application of current problems.
And our final interesting thing seen at hospitals for this segment. I had my leg amputated, and my brother shows up to the hospital dressed as a pirate. Arr, matey.
Whoa. And we'll have some more of these unbelievable things. Unbelievable things that people have seen in hospitals. In our next break.
Yep. If it were me,
so what do you think, Dale? A brain transplant. I didn't want to give it away, but unique thought there.
Yep.
And
my instinct is the brain would be the personality.
That would be my instinct too. Yeah, because the brain is what runs the body. Yep. I mean, technically, to reconnect all the neurons and stuff that go in there would be impossible.
All the info.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, I talk about a headache. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
you say, wait a minute, I'm married to Bryna Rayburn. What's going on here?
Oh no. Surprise. Let's, see where this is going with the brain transplant here on Identity Crisis from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Cast a sensuous spell with Havana weed oil.
What?
Tropical, sultry.
Weed oil.
From the blossom of the Malagua tree comes a fragrance with legendary powers to arouse emotions. Havana weed oil. Discovered over 200 years ago by early Spanish settlers who were intrigued by the mysterious spell of the weed. Exciting the senses of all those who came in contact with it.
I don't know.
This exotic scent has been recreated in Europe. Havana weed oil. The imported fragrance with highly seductive powers that will leave you spellbound. Havana weed oil. For men and women at fine cosmetic departments.
Only the goat can save us now.
It is generally agreed that there is a spiritual quality in the makeup of every man and woman, quite apart from the mental and physical. Call it soul, essence, basic element, whatever. Now, should surgery, as has happened here, place the brain of one man with its millions of memories, its education, and its convictions into the body of another man, will the essence of which we've been speaking, the soul, weigh heavily enough to determine identity?
What are we going to do, Esther?
I don't know. I've been thinking about it, Jane. If Dr. Peters doesn't know...
He'll... Whichever one he is... He'll be a stranger.
To both of us.
It's worse. It might almost have been better if...
We'll just have to wait and see, Jane. What else can we do?
But, Paul, this is murder you're talking about.
Well, he wouldn't be alive today if Dr. Peters hadn't done this nutty operation on him. He was slated to die anyway. Can't you see that?
Well, not because of me, he wasn't.
Look, Carl. Carl, I've got 3 kids. You've got 2, right?
Right. And I don't want them to grow up knowing that their old man was a murderer.
So you want them to grow up with their old man in jail for the other stuff? Bribery, conspiracy, you name it, Carl. They'll pin it on us if Hollis shoots off his mouth.
But we don't know that he's going to. He may not say one damn word. Maybe he can't talk, for Pete's sake. Look, there's got to be some way so we don't have to kill him.
All right. You tell me what it is.
I
I haven't had a chance to think about it yet.
Well, you can think until your head drops off, Carl, and you won't come up with anything but what I've come up with. It's my way or nothing. We've got to kill him.
I don't know if I could.
You can.
Well, we got plenty of time. He won't be out of the hospital for a good long time. At least there's no rush,
We don't have any time at all.
What do you mean?
We can't afford to wait. We'll have to go into the hospital after him.
Hello, Randy.
Oh, hello, John. Come on in.
Congratulations. They tell me it was absolutely beautiful. I was sure you could do it.
Thanks. Sit down.
Why do you look so glum? Come on, Randy. You've just completed maybe the most brilliant piece of surgery in medical history.
I want your advice, John.
All you have to do is ask.
I'm worried about this brilliant piece of surgery.
Worried? Isn't he doing all right?
He's alive. The body has accepted the brain, so far at least. But that's not my problem.
So, what is?
There are two women sitting out there, Mrs. Hollis and Mrs. Kemper. Which one is waiting to see her husband? I'm beginning to think I've got a tiger by the tail.
He is still unconscious, of course.
Will be for, I don't really know how long.
The only thing we can do is wait and talk to him when he can talk.
How about an educated guess right now?
How educated would it be? Well, my guess would be that identity would go along with the brain. I mean, at least lean very heavily in that direction.
So you think it'll be Hollis?
It's only a guess. You can't discount the body, certainly. There's a whole nervous system in there, which the brain is only a part. The most important part, granted, but still only a part.
But if the body doesn't reject the brain?
Physically? Well, I'm guessing, of course. All that does is place the brain and the rest of the body in contention. Anything could happen. The body is long accustomed to taking commands from the brain. How is it going to respond now? And the brain, when it doesn't get the responses it expects, if it doesn't, well, who knows? Who's to say it won't break down completely?
Well, that was a chance I knew I'd have to take. It's the identity problem that's got me worried right now.
Yeah, I have only one suggestion. Wait until he can talk to you, and then ask him who he is.
Yes, Lucille. Carl Dunlap. I don't know any Carl Dunlap. What does he want?
Oh,
something about the Hollis Kemper thing. Well, I guess I better see him. I'll take any help I can get from anybody.
Dr. Peters?
Yes, come in.
Oh, thank you. I'm Carl Dunlap.
Yes? I don't believe we've met before, have we?
No. I was a business associate of Andy Hollis. Is he going to be okay?
He's doing as well as can be expected.
Well, that doesn't mean anything much, does it?
Well, he's in intensive care right now. The operation was successful, as far as we know at this point. What's your interest?
Well, you see, we had this business proposition, and it was hanging fire when he had his accident. Now, I can't go ahead with it without word from Hollis.
You won't get any kind of word from Mr. Hollis for a good long while yet.
Well, this is a really big deal. There's over $1 million tied up here. It's kind of a mess unless I can get to talk to Hollis.
I advise you to find another way to straighten out your affairs, Mr. Dunlap. It may be several days before Mr. Hollis will be allowed visitors.
You were right, Paul. I couldn't get in to see him.
Well, you agree with me now that there's only one way we can go?
Well, we don't know that he's going to talk, Paul.
We don't know that he won't. Look, I don't want to gamble, Carl.
No, I guess I don't either.
Good. Then it's settled. Now, all right, now here's where we do it. The easiest thing in the world is to impersonate a doctor. You put on a lab coat, hang a stethoscope around your neck, and you're a medic, right?
I guess so, as long as nobody asks you for a pill.
That's good enough for walking down the hospital corridor.
Well, we don't have lab coats.
Well, it's easy enough to get. We go someplace and buy them. I'll take care of that. You've got a gun, haven't you?
Yes. So have you.
Do you have a silencer for it?
No. Now, listen,
Paul. That's all right. That's all right. I can pick up one. So once we get inside the hospital...
Now, wait a minute,
Paul.
You've got a gun, too, haven't you? Why my gun?
Because you're going to do it, Carl.
Oh, no. No, I'll go along with the idea, even if I don't like it. But you don't get me to shoot him myself. No, Paul.
Sorry. That's the way it has to be.
Well, why? You're the one who wants him out of the way so bad. Why should I do the shooting?
Because if I do it, the way you're running around so scared, you might just get an attack of conscience or something and start talking.
Oh, that's silly. Why would I do it?
But if you do it yourself, you're going to think twice before you make any stupid confessions.
I won't do it, Paul.
Sure you will.
You can't make me.
Well, that's just the point. I can. You'll do it simply because I tell you to. You always do everything I tell you to. Haven't you noticed?
They sent a couple of containers of coffee back from the nurse's station.
They've been so nice.
Oh, I hope you like milk and sugar in yours. I didn't know.
Oh, that'll be fine, Jane. Just so there's some coffee in there.
Oh, it's going to be a mess, isn't it, Esther?
For us? I'm afraid so, yes. What we need here is a Solomon.
I suppose when he wakes up, when he regains consciousness, he'll know who he is.
You know, it's strange. At first, I was feeling so grateful to your husband, to you, for donating his brain to Ralph. Now I'm beginning to wonder if it isn't the other way around.
Your husband donating his body to Andy? I guess that's what it will amount to. Oh, Lord, I'm so confused.
And another thing I've been wondering, where are we going to stand legally?
Why, I hadn't even thought about that.
To tell you the truth, I'm not even sure how I want it to come out.
Hey, Carl, will you help me with this stuff, huh?
Well, you've been shopping or something?
What does it look like? Yeah, take it.
Yeah, okay.
All right, now, I got the lab coats and stethoscopes.
Oh.
I didn't have a bit of trouble. I figured at least they'd ask for identification or something, but they didn't. Just handed the stuff over and took my money.
Okay.
Yeah, take a look here. You try this one on, huh?
All right.
Ought to fit. They only come in three sizes, small, medium, and large. I got mediums.
Well, it's kind of tight around the middle.
Well, you wear them open anyway. Now, here, put the stethoscope around your neck. There. Hey, you'd have made a pretty good doctor at that.
I don't like it.
Then just stop thinking about it, huh? When the time comes, just do it. Let me have your gun.
What for?
I got a silencer. I just want to see if it works all right.
I keep it in here. I never once used it. I just thought I ought to have one around. Millie's home alone so much. I don't know what good it would do, though. She won't touch it.
Let me have it, huh? It's all right. Is this thing loaded?
Yes. I don't know. Listen, Paul, couldn't you... I mean, I'm not the one that ordered...
It's all settled, Carl.
But what if I just freeze and then I can't do it, huh? I never pointed a gun at anybody in all my life, Paul. I think, really, that you ought to do it.
Now, you'll do fine. Just fine. I'm not the least bit worried.
Dr. Peters? Dr. Peters?
Yes, what is it? I asked you not to leave your patient.
Look, doctor, I think he's coming too. I saw you pass by the door, and I decided it would be quicker to come after you than to have you paid.
All right, let's go. You say he's conscious?
Well, no, not what you could call conscious yet.
He seems to have gone back to sleep.
Just a minute ago, he was...
I can't.
He can articulate. That's all right, then.
Can somebody help me?
What can we do for you?
Help me. born Indianapolis.
You were born in Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes. Born Boston, too. Somebody help me. Where am I?
Who am I? A question originating in the depths of an awesome darkness. Loss of sure identity is the final step off the solid substance of security. If you must ask who you are, there is no safe place for you. You are a wanderer among uncertainties, lost in a maze bounded by the unknown, inhabited only by you and fear. The mind with no secure haven in which to rest and restore itself will manufacture a haven of its own. And this is what is commonly known as madness. I'll return shortly with Act Three.
This Christmas, give a gift that'll help turn any kitchen into a fast food restaurant. Hi, Pat Summerall here to suggest you give the Hamilton Beach Little Mac or Double Mac Grill from your participating True Value Hardware store. The Little Mac fast cooker has a reversible grid with a square side for grilled sandwiches and a round side for hamburgers, pizza, or fried eggs. The cover locks on for spatter-free cooking, and the no-stick finish is easy to clean. The Hamilton Beach Double Mac Grill from your True Value Hardware store makes two hamburgers or two grilled cheese sandwiches in just minutes. It can even be used to fry bacon and eggs together, quickly and easily and without spatter. This Christmas, give the gift that'll help turn any kitchen into a fast food restaurant. The Hamilton Beach Little Mac or Double Mac Fast Cooker from your participating True Value Hardware store. Remember True Value. That's more than just a name. It's their way of doing business. And remember, too, tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
WBBM Chicago. Even people who seem to have everything never have enough time. That's why time-saving appliances from True Value Hardware stores make thoughtful Christmas gifts. The Oster Kitchen Center is three time savers in one. It comes with a power base and three attachments. Add the five-cup jar and it's a 10-speed blender. Attach the grind arm and hopper and it's a food grinder. Add the beaters and bowl and it's a 10-speed mixer. Or add the food processor for just $17.94 and the Oster Kitchen Center becomes a slicer, shredder, and salad maker too. Another time saver from True Value Hardware Stores is the Oster Crepery Electric Crepe Maker. $14.88. Use it to create delicate crepes for main dishes or desserts, or to turn leftovers into feasts. Get time-saving Oster appliances at participating True Value Hardware stores.
True Value Hardware is more than just a name. It's a way of doing business that means True Value.
Okay. Have a True Value now. Are they open?
For about another 42 minutes.
Yep.
So you're not going to make it today, folks, because we still got some mystery theater to finish up here.
Run down the street. We'll wait.
No, we won't.
I know we won't.
Don't fib to it. Don't fib.
I won't fib. More than I have to. Got some more of these interesting things that have happened at the hospital.
Yes. Number five. You want to take it or you want me to take it?
You can take it.
You take it.
Okay, number five.
You take it. No, you take it.
Unless you want to. Number five, I didn't want to go to the hospital when I had life-threatening illness because my elderly pet ducks required daily medications at the time. I'm the only person they'll allow to give them the medication. The nurses let my husband sneak them in at night. There's pictures of this girl with her elderly ducks and her medicating them and hugging them and letting them run around the hospital. And she don't look like she's doing too good either. Well, hopefully the ducks are fine.
All right. And the next one, number six, a photo taken outside Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. And it's in a kid's room. And it is a sign pasted to the, it looks like with the, probably with the, that medical tape that's pasted up and says, "Send pizza, room 4112. Smart kid.
Smart kid. Well, I gotta love him. Okay. There's a Dr. Hedge, H-E-D-G-E-H. And he puts a sign outside of it that says, "Whomever keeps adding O-G to the end of my door sign, stop it. Dr. Hedge." And they added the O-G. When you add the O-G, it looks like hedgehog.
Hedgehog. In the next one, it's another doctor.
You get to pronounce this one.
Yeah. They have the course, the clinic is, medical health center is blocked out, and the doctor's name is blocked out. But they changed the chiropractic, the C with a P. So instead of chiropractor, he's a chiropractor. Like a raptor, as in a raptor dinosaur.
Yeah.
And there's a sign on it with a raptor. The first one says, "Roar." So the guy takes down the sign. Next one, he's in the other direction, says, "I make your pain go extinct." And in the third one, says, "I'm back. Ha, ha, ha. Get it? Because I'm a chiropractor."
Chiropractor.
A chiropractor.
Gotta love them practical jokers.
Yep, they keep tearing down the signs, and they keep bringing them back.
Yep. Yep. We'll have some more of these. Oh, I can't wait to do the next one. I'm taking the next one.
You got it.
Anybody else have? Dave, we shared a few interesting hospital tales yesterday, real-life stories of our own. I wonder if our listeners have any good hospital tales. Good old Bob or Fogsbane. Maybe not necessarily yourself, but someone else you know. Maybe you could tell us in the chat.
Did I tell the Mountain Dew story, Dale?
You may have. It sounds familiar. I know that you and Mountain Dew have a history.
Then I won't tell it again.
Tell it again.
I won't tell it again. No, if well, it's just that, you know, when my grandson was born, my first grandson, I went to the hospital and I took a Mountain Dew, one of those 18-ounce bottles, and put like a baby nipple on it and held him like I was feeding him this bottle of Mountain Dew. And it ended up on Facebook where my daughter-in-law posted the note, "This is why Grandpa never gets to watch Declan alone."
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I've had some interesting experiences. Some I will not share here. But having been in the hospital a few times for various injuries, I was a reckless young lad. Had a few.
Yeah, can't imagine that.
But I remember when I had my, this is 1979, motorcycle accident. I had a pin put in my shoulder. In the hospital room, there was an ashtray.
Okay.
And I used it. Yeah, I mean, right there in the hospital room, you could smoke back then. Amazing.
Yeah, yep. Back then you could.
Yep.
Back in the day.
Ah, the good old days. Because 9 out of 10 camel-smoking doctors say... That's
yeah, now doctors
say.
Don't smoke the camels, but the camels will smoke the doctor. So there you go.
Here you go. And it looks like we're going to have some bonus material today. I am sure we'll squeeze
Woo-hoo!
Something in. Right, Dave?
Woo-hoo!
All right. That sounds like a winner, but in the interim, we can probably wrap up Identity Crisis and see what's going on. He's just coming to his senses and becoming conscious. And who is he? Let's find out.
Who can say with authority what the brain is to the body, or the body to the brain? Which is master and which is servant? To be sure, we tend to characterize the brain as the thinking and therefore the guiding mechanism, but it is not the entire being. It represents, by any physical measurement we know how to apply, only a small percentage of the total entity. Is it reasonable to assume, then, that it contains the entire identity, the essence of the individual?
Well, John, you're the psychiatrist. You've talked to the patient. What do you think?
I think, as you said before, you have got a tiger by the tail. This is completely outside my experience.
Outside anybody's.
But I will tell you one thing.
Hmm?
You have opened up a whole new, unexplored territory. If brain transplants are to develop, we are going to have to scurry about and build a new psychiatric framework to contain them.
You're stumped?
We're stumped, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have 1,000 questions, no answers.
Well, that's a start, at least. The questions have to come before the answers. What are some of them?
Well, this Hollis brain of yours has some Kempera memories. He has demonstrated that. Kempera was born in Indianapolis and Hollis in Boston. Hollis Kempera, for want of anything better to call him, now states that he was born in Indianapolis and Boston. Incidentally, I think his mentioning it indicates that he is trying to cope, trying to come to terms with the discrepancy. Anyway, what this means to me is that there is a memory, the Indianapolis memory, outside the brain. And the way I learned it, memory is strictly the brain's province.
Spinal memory?
Who knows? There's not supposed to be any such thing. You know, the temptation is to turn metaphysical.
Metaphysical?
Mm-hmm. The soul. The unsensed, unmeasurable something that makes us more than mere matter. It is a temptation to say that since Kempera's body still lives, it still contains something of the Kempera soul. That's not very scientific, I'm afraid.
Still, it's an answer that satisfies in some ways, isn't it?
Not one that satisfies the scientific purpose, though. Where do you go from here, Randy?
I was hoping you could advise me.
I'm sorry.
How do you let go of a tiger without getting scratched?
Carl, will you stop looking so scared?
Huh?
Doctors never look scared, even when they are. And we're doctors.
I can't help how I look. I am scared.
Well, don't be. We're just two doctors walking down a hospital corridor talking shop talk. Well, his room number is 394, three doors down, other side of the hall. You see it? Partway closed?
Yeah, I see it. What if they moved him to another room?
They wouldn't. They've got him plugged into so many gadgets in there. It'd be just too much trouble to move him now. Now, you know what we do, right?
I guess so.
We take a look in the door. If the doctor's in there, we just walk down the hall and wait for him to leave. If there's nobody there but the nurse, we go in and order her to leave.
Order her?
We are doctors. You keep forgetting. Nurses do what doctors tell them to do.
Okay.
And then when we're alone with them, you just do it. That's all.
I tried to get in to see him, Jane. I didn't have any luck, but I tried.
Well, Dr. Peters wouldn't let you in.
The nurse wouldn't. She stopped me at the door. She was nice enough, but she was firm.
Is he still all right?
Well, the nurse said he was sort of half conscious for a little while.
Esther?
Yes?
Look, those two doctors just passing down the hall. Did you get a good look at them?
Not very. Well, what about them?
One of them was... I'd swear one of them was Paul Morrison. The man who was here asking about Andy earlier.
The one you didn't like?
Yes, that one.
But he's... Is he a doctor?
No. That's just the point. He isn't. So what is he doing in a white coat?
You think he's up to something?
I don't know what he could be up to, but I don't like it.
forgot about her.
Forgot about who?
His wife, Jane Hollis. She was in the waiting room just now as we walked past it.
Did she see you? Does she know you?
Well, she knows me all right. I'm not sure whether she saw me or not.
Well, let's get out of here, Paul. If she saw you, we'd better just get out of here.
For Pete's sake, will you stop it, will you? You panic at the least little thing, I hear. Well, just stop and lean against the wall and talk. We're in consultation, okay? And if she doesn't do anything about it, well, she didn't see me.
This is crazy. Here's this big hospital, busy as Grand Central Station. Here, we're going to walk into a man's room and shoot him dead. People all over the place, but does that stop us? No, we just walk in there and shoot a man dead.
And walk right out again. The best way to get lost is in a crowd of people.
Insane.
Oh, there she goes.
The Hollis one? Uh-huh.
Yes, with the other one. They're just strolling along, going the other way. I guess she didn't see me.
So you want to go ahead with it?
Of course we're going to go ahead with it. Come on.
Sort of stroll along, so if he sees us, he'll think we're just stretching our legs.
Well, did you get another look at him?
No. I was afraid to look down that way. But I know it was him. I'm sure.
Oh, so what are we going to do?
I just want to see if I can find Dr. Peters and tell him about it.
Okay. Here it is, room 394. Will you wipe that scared look off your face?
I'm doing the best I can, Paul.
All right. Just let me check. I don't see anybody but the nurse in there. The doctor doesn't seem to be around.
Paul, I wish...
Will you shut up and let me do the talking? Nurse?
Oh, you startled me.
Is this Dr. Peters' patient?
Yes, doctor.
Dr. Peters has called us in for a consultation. We expect him any minute. Will you please leave us alone with the patient?
Oh, Dr. Peters instructed me to stay with the patient.
Well, we'll be with him. You needn't worry.
I don't like to go against Dr. Peters' instructions.
We will take the responsibility. We expect Dr. Peters momentarily. Meantime, we can save time by examining the patient while we're waiting for him.
I could stay and assist you. I mean, if there's anything you want to know...
Nurse, I've asked you to leave us.
Yes, doctor.
Paul.
What is it?
We got in the wrong room or something.
What are you talking about?
That's not Hollis. Look at him. I never saw that guy before in my life.
Of course it isn't Hollis, you idiot. They transplanted Hollis's brain into somebody else.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Well, then how can we be sure? I mean, if we never saw the guy before, how do we know we're in the right place at all?
We are. All right. Do it, Carol.
Paul, please, if you just listen to me, I don't think...
Do it!
Isn't that the nurse we just passed? Isn't she supposed to be in there with him all the time?
Oh, it certainly looked like her.
You think we ought to go back and make sure he's all right?
Somebody probably came in to relieve her. I just want to see Dr. Peters.
Okay. Oh, I hope he's in.
Dr. Peters?
Yes? Oh, Mrs. Hollis and Mrs. Kemper. What can I do for you?
We just saw an odd thing.
Odd thing?
There's a man I know slightly, a business associate of my husband. I don't like him, frankly. I don't trust him. I just saw him out in the hall, dressed like a doctor.
And he isn't a doctor?
He certainly isn't. Would it be possible for him, and he had somebody with him, would it be possible for them just to walk into a patient's room without anyone stopping them?
If you're afraid that's what he's going to do, there's no cause for alarm. There's a nurse in there.
Oh, but she isn't, doctor. We just saw her out in the hall.
You're sure it's the same nurse?
Positive.
Then maybe we ought to go and check it out.
There she is. See? Standing there at the nurse's station.
Nurse?
Yes, doctor.
I thought I asked you not to leave the patient alone. Not for any reason.
Well, he isn't alone, sir. The two doctors you asked in for consultation are with him.
Consultation? I didn't set up any consultation.
They said you did. They practically ordered me out of the room.
All right. Let's go.
Hey, Andy. Can you hear me? It's Carl Dunlap. Come and see how you're doing.
Now, will you stop it? Can't you see he's in no shape to talk?
Well, then, if he can't talk...
Shoot him, Carl.
You take the gun, Paul. I can't. I just can't do
You'll
it.
Do it. Now, right there, in the temple. No, not quite touching. There, right there. That's it. Now the trigger. The trigger, Carl.
No, Paul, I can't.
Just squeeze the trigger. Just a little pressure. It doesn't take much. That's our way now. Once more to make sure.
Paul, please, I can't.
Sure you can. Just squeeze. Squeeze like before, Carl. Just squeeze.
What are you two? Oh, my God.
Shoot them, Carl.
Ralph, He's bleeding. Why is he bleeding?
Get out of my way. Let me have a look at him.
Did you hear what I said, Carl? Shoot them!
No more. No more, Paul. I can't.
He's dead. Shot twice through the head.
Don't let me have the gun, Carl. Give me the gun!
No.
You heard what I said. Give it to me.
I won't.
Carl, give
You'll
it to me.
You'll only kill somebody.
Let me
I
have
won't
that.
Let you, Paul.
Let me have the
no,
gun.
No, I won't. Oh, Paul.
Oh.
I didn't mean to shoot you, Paul.
It's my arm.
Doctor, will you take the gun?
I'll take it. Nurse, get some security people in here, will you? Have they taken those two away? The two who shot your patient? They're probably all booked and put away by now. I just had a weird experience.
It's the only kind you have had all day, it seems to me.
I just had to console two women, Mrs. Hollis and Mrs. Kemper, because their husbands were dead. Only that wasn't what I did. I found myself telling them I was sorry about their husband. Singular. One husband, two wives. And nobody could say who the man had actually belonged to.
Yeah. Sad thing, though. All around.
Yes. In a way, though, they were grief-stricken, of course, the two women. Each thinking of her own husband as he used to be. But as for the man I was trying to give them with my surgery, I'm not sure they weren't just a little bit relieved that he was gone and the decisions wouldn't have to be made.
You know something, Randy? I'm not sure the world is ready for the brain transplant.
I'm not sure it ever will be.
Perhaps we should be just as glad that the brain transplant isn't ready for the world. As things stand now, one more spiritual dilemma might be just that one too many. I'll be back in a few minutes.
The 1977 Buick Regal. It comes with Buick's terrific V6 engine. It carries six people and lots of Buick comfort. It's lean. It's maneuverable in city traffic. It's the most luxurious mid-sized car Buick builds. Yeah, this new Regal is pretty much everything a car should be. Except for one thing. It isn't yours yet. But it can be. Just see your Buick dealer for a test drive. Soon.
Christmas deals do look very nice on all our holiday gifts and mail. Hello, this is Tony Randall. And I'd like to remind you that what Christmas deals do all year round is even more important. They're truly powerful weapons in the fight against such lung diseases as emphysema, tuberculosis, and asthma. And now they're also deeply involved in the fight to bring back clean air so that we can breathe again. That's why it's so important to answer your Christmas deal letter. Your lung association asks you to give more to Christmas deals this year for life and breath.
With the human mind striving as it always must toward the accomplishment tomorrow of today's impossibility, it's not surprising, perhaps, that among the blessed miracles performed, some heinous enormities are also perpetrated. It may be that the transplanting of a fine mind from a sick body to a healthy one would be a good thing. But wouldn't it present the kind of problem our story has dealt with? How could it not? Our cast included Gordon Gould, Ann Williams, Bryna Rayburn, Robert Dryden, and Joe Silver. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Didn't you say the banquet started at 7:30?
Yeah, I thought I'd drive over and pick Emery up. I don't really trust him to attend a banquet, even in his honor, unless somebody sees to it personally that he gets there.
Not a bad idea. Oliver, do you know a Nikki Bell?
Hmm? Nikki Bell? No, never heard of him.
It's not a him, it's a her. Daisy says there's something going on between her and Emery.
Emery Peterson? You've got to be kidding. Emery Peterson's the straightest husband I ever knew. Well, you know, present company accepted.
Well, it's not that kind of a thing. At least Daisy says it isn't. She's not sure Emery isn't being blackmailed.
Well, that's almost as silly as the other. Emery never did anything he could be blackmailed for. I'd stake my life on that.
Well, something strange is going on.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Wine with your meals. Here's something you should know about wine before meals. Most wines go with your meals, but Dubonnet goes before. Think of it as an appetizer. A wine that's right for your appetite. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. The distinctive taste of Dubonnet before makes what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. Product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Ah, Dave, my partner, you know I enjoy working with you, but you know, if Gar or CW doesn't show up pretty soon, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Ah, you're going to have to be Mr. Lonely.
Only one of them would show up tonight.
Just one of them? One? Only one?
Either or will do. Ah, CW, welcome, welcome, welcome. You've been missed.
Ah, yes, the plague doctor is in. Since you're doing a hospital show, I thought you should have the doctor in the house.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yes, I'm back, AWOL. But here I am. Hello, everyone. Felicitations, salutations, and embarkations, and howdy.
Palpitations.
Were you able to hear the story tonight?
Oh, yes. Yes. The brain that didn't get to die because they killed the body. Oh, wow. Okay.
When you shoot in the head, that pretty much finishes it off, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the universal way to do it.
Yep.
That does lead us to a moral, Dale, if you grow there.
Well, I suppose I could get my way over there real fast. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garless moral of the story.
Apologies to Gar, although two heads are better than one. Not necessarily the same for two brains. There you go.
Uh-oh,
Pickle Saw has a challenge. Challenge time.
There's the pickle.
Uh-oh, you want to fight, huh?
tickle challenge or yodel challenge over. All right.
That's right.
Oh,
see all the right. all the fun you miss, CW.
I know. It's just terrible. But shall I say that dreaded four-letter word? Cover your ears,
yes.
Everyone, just for the briefest moment of that.
Snow?
Four-letter, known as work.
She said it. I heard it.
I thought that word was banned from Erie House, Dale.
You know what happens when that word crosses my mouth? I mean, it is. That's what happens.
Oh, I thought you were going to get the lava soap, you know,
yes.
out. And...
Oh, I thought it was actually going to be the life boy.
It has
well,
a
no,
life
boy can cause blindness, right?
Yes,
life boy can cause blindness.
Oh. Oh, yes.
And you'll
where
be
the
sorry.
Other one has that, yeah, there you go. The other one has that heady piquant flavor.
Yep.
Which leads to an interesting thing, which is completely off topic, except since we got to the Christmas story. There will be a reunion of many of the actors here in Cleveland around Thanksgiving. And even Ralphie, who has always stayed away because he's had issues with Warner Brothers for many things. And I guess because they allowed him to do the sequel, which they did last year, which I thought was actually very touching. Anyway,
yes,
he will be there as well. So let's think about a quarter of the staff will be assembling in Cleveland.
Wow.
This fall.
Exciting news coming out of the mistake on the lake.
Incredible. Don't they have a house? Can someone buy the actual house?
Yes.
And
yes.
It is currently closed, I believe, though. The ownership is changing.
Ah.
If I'm not mistaken.
I know the ownership.
Uh-huh.
The guy who owned it and set it up, he was selling it. So I'm not sure exactly, but it is a museum. They have a gift shop across the house, across the street there. And I've been there. Matter of fact, we did a podcast where I was staying in the room one night. Remember that, Dale?
Yep.
Yes, I do. So the house is there. That was mostly exterior shots from around the house, all the exterior shots around the house were there, and only one scene was shot inside where they you know drug in the major award into the
light
room.
Lamp. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Oh my goodness! I'm surprised they didn't. Have the guy did buy one of the Bumpus dogs to go lolling about.
The Bumpus dogs. Gotta have Bumpus dogs.
Yep. What's interesting is in my summer story, which was the sequel, which is very hardly ever seen, Mike Mace was in that. He was one of the Bumpus
really?
Dogs. In the summer
what?
Story, which was the sequel. Movie, with Mike Mace was one of the Bumpuses, as was Franz the Toymaker. He was a Bumpus.
Incredible.
I'll be darned. I have to go back and look at it again. I only saw it for the first time very recently, like maybe about, I don't know, 6 months to a year ago, maybe. And now I have to, oh, Dave. Oh.
Yeah, I want to have a look at the, oh, no kidding. The Hillbilly Neighbors, the Bumpuses. So.
Yes. They're crazed dogs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was wondering, I take it that the actor who did portray Ralphie, who is, of course, an adult now, his image is all over the place every Christmas.
That's part of the problem that he had with them, because they were selling his image all over the place, and he never got a cent for it. And that was his big problem with the Christmas story. Not the show itself, not the actors, not the movie, but the fact that they were using him all over the place and selling, making money in his name without him ever getting a cent from it.
Those rotten.
So I take No kidding. He must have had a crappy agent. I mean,
well, yeah. how old was he at the time? You know, you never think. And again, when it first came out, it wasn't a hit. It wasn't until TBS picked it up and started doing this every year, 24 hours of a Christmas story, that the thing really, really became something special.
That's true, but I don't know. Still, your agent usually tries to get as much as possible because they get a percentage of that.
Yep.
Even for child actors.
But, well, you know, it's like Jim Vanderpeel signing off her things. Maybe he figured out this ain't going to be no big deal, and that's what he's signing. Who knows? We don't know.
Yeah. We do not know.
I don't know. Well, I mean, you know, with what Vincent Price said about the soundtrack for Thriller, he used a rather unsavory word that I will refrain from using. But suffice to say, he did not get his fair share from that multi-platinum selling song.
Well, and the thing about Vincent Price, too, he may be remembered for doing that far longer than most of his movies.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
And, I don't know who I'd blame.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. He's made some great movies. He may be remembered for that much, much better than I remember when Gilligan's Island, all the cast was so excited because they were going to get it paid for two reruns. Just think of all the money that show has made.
Oh.
Yeah. And there was only one actor who got the lion's share of that, and that was the late Dawn Wells. Because her husband at the time put an extra codicil in there.
Right.
Smooth move. Smooth move.
Very smooth move for her.
Yeah. Good. Like to see the good guys
remember,
win.
Yeah. Speaking of
especially
codicils,
Marianne.
Speaking of codicils, should Erie House ever make any sort of money? Ha ha, chortle. I'm stating for the record right now, I better get my fair share.
Apparently you didn't read your co-host contract, CW.
Dear. I should have never signed anything by the infamous Moose and Elk law firm.
Yep. Moose and Elk, they made up all our paperwork.
You didn't have to. They signed it for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know.
There's that.
Yeah.
Moose and Elk. We'll cut out everything, including you, the middleman, except our fee.
And your fingers. A couple of
fingers. That's right.
We'll cut those, too. I caught you, man.
Yep.
I caught you, man.
So, good doctor show tonight. We got a little bit of time. CW, would you... would you care to take the honor of spinning our wheel of radio?
Oh, delighted. Of course. Going up to the podium, and here we go. We're going to spin to win.
Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Well, Mortimer.
Yeah, that's me.
Yes. Say, I want to tell you.
Oh, quite. Now, sure, no.
Mortimer, I'm giving a party.
Well, that's nice. That's nice.
Yes.
Who's it for?
Mm-hmm. It's Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
For Halloween.
I don't believe I know him.
No. It's a Halloween party.
Oh, I see what you mean now.
Yes, and you're invited.
Mm. That's nice, ain't it?
Well, of course it is.
Do you want me to wear a false face? You know, no, no.
I don't think you'll need one.
No. You're just flattering me.
No, I'm not. Then we shall expect you. I say then we'll expect you.
Expect me to what?
To be at the party.
Well, yeah, I think so. I'll be there if I can get the time off from the job. You see, I got a job.
You have a job?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the way it goes, you know. How to do?
Dang. What kind of work are you doing? Hmm? I say, what kind of work are you doing?
Well, I go to work, What was the question?
Well, it was a What kind of work are you doing?
Well, what do you call a fellow that washes a window?
That washes a window?
Yeah, you call him
a window washer?
Well,
is that what you do?
Yeah, that's what I do.
Well, hanging on the outside of those buildings doesn't seem like a very good job.
Yeah, well, it keeps me off the streets.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
I hope. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Mortimer, how long does it take you to wash your window? How long does it take you to wash your window?
Well, there's, that, of course, depends on.
Yeah. On what?
Well, on what's going on inside the window.
Yeah. Do you get paid by the window? Do you get paid by the window?
No. Get paid by the boss.
By the boss, yeah. Mortimer, how can you be so stupid?
Well, I get plenty of sleep and good exercise, I imagine.
Whoops. Sorry, I'm losing a wrestling match with Blog Talk, turning on these microphones.
Please stand by. We're having technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Yep.
Thanks, Blog Talk. Bill, what's happening next week on Erie House Radio?
Nothing. I quit. No.
Okay. Finally got the weekend off, do I?
Dave, is this aimed at me? Is this some sort of a gag? We're giving you a hand. No, I've been having serious hand troubles. So we're doing shows on hands.
Yep.
Murder at Midnight, a show called Midnight, and The Haunting Hour. That's Friday, and CBS Radio Mystery Theater returns on Saturday, both nights at 6:30 Eastern. Gar coming up in a minute and 50 seconds on the Twitches. Another vault, I'm sure.
Cheap plug, Monday night on Vortex, should be witness really bad movie. Not sure which one, but we'll be there.
That's Monday at 9 Eastern, when young people are still awake.
Horrorhost.net.
And everyone, have a fantastic and safe. Please don't try and blow up too much stuff, you know. Don't do that, you know. You know, 5, 10, 15
times. Look, kiddies, cool it with the boom boom. The boom boom, fighting your gulati to death over there. Look, kiddies, cool it with the boom boom. The boom boom, fighting your gulati to death over there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly my point.
Yeah. No, I know a guy who used to play with fireworks. We call him Knuckles now.
Yeah. What happened to him? I don't know. I'm stumped.
Exotic Havana weed oil.
Yes.
Havana weed oil.
Mm-hmm. That was weird.
We were questioning that. See you guys. Bye-bye.
Castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone.
I'm back. I'm here.
Don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Yep, digging around for that Havana weed oil. That's
good timing.
I don't know about Havana weed oil, but Havana? Tiger balm works good. You know what Tiger balm is?
Yeah, I've tried that.
I love it. It works good.
But I don't know if that Havana weed oil sounds like it's the precursor to the CBD oil that we see everywhere now.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it is.
Oh,
Northwest
showed up tonight, Dale, and he's the one that was from the West Coast. That's what it is.
Ah, ha-ha. Dave has got something for us in a couple weeks, 2 weekends from now.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
Tell her, Dave. We're going to celebrate the birthday of Hogan.
That's right, Bob Crane. And not only do we have two radio plays, a Zero Hour and a Crisis, we also have 35 minutes of a clip from his disc jockey days and the time he spent in there with Rod Serling talking about the Twilight Zone from 1961 comes this clip. Really, really cool clip.
He got to interview Rod Serling?
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's going to be playing the drums to "These Boots Are Made for Walking."
That and to South Rampart Street. And we'll have an audio clip from an uncredited voice that he did in the original Twilight Zone as announcer on that episode called Static, where the guy found the old radio up in the attic and it played old programs and stuff.
Yeah.
Bob Crane was the unnamed voice on that. And that could be how he got Rod Serling to show up on the radio show.
Hmm. Well, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Doubt. Wow.
That's in 2 weeks.
It's going to be really a really fun night there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know nothing, I see nothing, I hear nothing, except this particular episode.
That's true. That's funny because, ironically, one of the characters' names was Klemperer, as in Werner Klemperer.
No way.
Yeah, one of the characters in the radio show tonight's name was Klemperer.
Klemperer. Ooh,
like Werner.
Things to come.
And of course, Werner that Klemperer makes me kind of sad as it reminds me of my dear friend, Gene the Colonel Clank.
Aww.
Rest in peace, brother. Rest in peace.
I just looked it up, Dale, and Havana weed oil is still on the market. You can buy it at Etsy for $7 for a full 5 of fluid ounces.
I'll stick with the Tiger Balm. It has two main ingredients I trust, menthol and camphor.
So do the CBD oils, but it also has another ingredient now that you may be able to trust.
Why not? Yeah, I remember the T-shirts when I was a kid. There was one that said, "Man-made weed, man-made booze, God-made weed. Who do you trust?" It was a pro marijuana T-shirt. Yeah, you know, they had.
Looks like they pretty much got their way.
Remember the giant T-shirt shops, Dave? We had Daffy Dan locally, CW.
Yep.
Daffy Dan.
Yep.
Hey there, I do believe you. There's a double D on my T-shirt sleeve.
I had a coworker who recently brought me in a Daffy Dan shirt. It was a Daffy Dan Goulardi shirt. And she was going through her clothes. She didn't even remember having it. She remember ever wearing it. But she thought that I might appreciate it. And I did it a little small for me, so I gave it to the wife, who was a big, big Goulardi fan.
There you go.
Cool.
Yeah, Daffy Dan was like a hippie-looking dude. He had real long hair. And he had a couple of shops in the area where he sold everything.
He had one in Cleveland. He had one, He had one on North Hill here in Akron.
I think back then you could get away with printing stuff without getting the, like, the rights to things and get away with it for a long time. And I think that might be why he got phased out, because that they was very popular.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
outstanding. He sounds like Shaggy. Did he have a Scooby-Doo dog with him?
No.
No.
Those local guys, though, the local merchants that would go on TV, you'd have a few auto guys. They were a little crazy. Or just had distinctive voices like Edston. Edston Chevrolet. And who is the other one? See the USA in a C. Miller.
In a C. Miller Chevrolet. Mwah.
Yeah, it would blow a kiss to the audience. It was frightening.
Hey, there's still a Daffy Dan's in existence on in Lakewood there, Dale.
Oh, no kidding. I'll be darned.
Daffy, and he's got a website, DaffyDan.com.
Ooh, I'm going to have to check that out.
Ah, he went to cyberspace.
Yep.
How's the air quality in your part of the universe? You getting that wonderful fresh ash air from Canada?
Yeah, I don't. I haven't had to have a cigarette for about a week now.
Yeah, I was thinking, well, if you just want to light up, just stick your head out the window and take a great deep inhale, and you're all set.
Speaking for my part of Ohio, Wednesday was really bad. I mean, it was heavy. Yeah. You could taste it. It hasn't been too bad since then. Bit of a haze here and there, but I mean, the smell of the burning wood and whatever chemicals they're putting it out with. Ugh.
We got rain today, and that really kind of doused it down a little bit.
Yes.
But we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah, everyone's reaching in their bags for their COVID mask.
Yeah, I don't know. They used to have these little shop masks that were really good for, like, dust and other particulates.
Yeah, get the big biohazard mask back out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or like those World War II gas masks.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
A diving bell helmet.
Yep.
Anything.
Anything. Yeah, get my plague doctor mask on.
Yeah, you might need to wear it. It's a mask? What? Wait, what? You mean you don't really look like that? Ah. Oh. CW is a girl of mystery. And it's just interesting that way, though. It's good.
Yes. Austin Powers and I, international person of mystery.
Yep. Adds to the intrigue. And we're so glad you got to join us. Of course, we're continuously worrying about Gar and his condition.
I think
he's starting to improve some on his voice. Hopefully he'll be able to come back soon. I think he finally got his medication after so many weeks of them fighting over what he had.
Who won?
I think he finally got him some medication. Let's hope that it takes effect and brings him back to our show and his show.
Yeah, just so he's feeling better.
What those doctors do, rolling dice in the back room saying, okay, let's see, I'll take 5-1. I think he has this. Roll the dice. Oh.
It's a swollen spleen. We'll remove it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's an overrated organ. Who needs it?
Yeah.
Yep. But with that, gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be back. Always nice to be missed, but sadly I must be away. So shall I still fulfill my final duty of the evening, as it were?
It is your job.
Please do.
Okay.
In your contract.
after a long absence. Mr. Durante, have you missed me? Because the stage is waiting for you.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night.
Kindly get that goat off the stage.
One more to say, but good night.
I love the goat.
And it's time for toodaloo.
Not literally.
Oh my goodness. Cover your ears, Richard Durante.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are. Wear a mask, Mrs. Calabash. The air quality is rather low.
Yes, it was all about dreams.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.